Hallelujah. Good morning. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here once again on a Sunday morning. April is almost gone. We made it this far into the year, and I'd just like to thank the church, thank Dad, thank God for this opportunity to say a message. So, like my dad, last night we were both sitting at this table and we're trying to prepare a message, and I have no idea what to say. All I know is that school's over for me, and I don't know what to do with my time. So, my last exam was on Wednesday, and on Thursday when I woke up, I had no idea what to do, because for the first time since I started school, I'm going to be having 4 months off from school, and I have no idea what to do. So Thursday morning, I woke up, and I just sat on my bed, and I found out I have no purpose in life. Once school is over, I have no idea what to do. And then, so mom was like, oh, you're done school on Wednesday, so how about you say the message? So that's how I was selected to say the message. And then the next issue was finding a topic to speak about. So I was thinking about, you know, seasons. We're changing, we're shifting seasons. We're going from a winter season into a spring season. For me, I went from a school season to an exam season, and now a work season or a job-seeking season. And for you guys, too, you're going into a different season, right? You're going from just normal school to midterm season, and after that, you're going into exam season, and then you're going into your summer season, right? And we have four seasons. We have winter, fall, spring, and summer. But there's also different seasons, right? There's different seasons, like, in your work. There's different seasons in life, seasons where there's low points. There's times where you're trying to get closer to God. There's times where you have where you're very close to God. And then the problem is, I have this idea of seasons. God gave me this idea of seasons. You should talk about seasons, but I had no idea where to take it from the Bible. But last night, my dad talked from 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm like, wow, it says two specific seasons right there. And those two seasons are a season of drought and a season of rain. So let's just turn our Bibles to the main verse that I selected. The main verse where everything changes is 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 34. And I'll just read it out. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Can I just take a second to pray? Lord Jesus, Lord God, I thank you for this word that you've given to me, Father. Lord, I ask that you speak through it, Lord Jesus, that you speak to someone here, Lord God. Lord Jesus, that you may touch someone, Lord God. Lord, I'm not sure what to say, Father, but I ask that you say what you want to say, Lord God, and not what I want to say. Take complete control, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, we come up with the season of drought. So if we read chapter 16, at the very end, we find out we have a new king in Israel. And that person is Ahab. Ahab, right? We all know Ahab. He's one of the worst kings ever. And we can see 1 Kings 16, verses 31, it says, Ahab, he took his wife Jezebel and went and served Baal and worshipped him. So we have a king who's not serving God, who's turned his back to God. We even see the writer clarifies that he was terrible, because the verse right after that, two verses down in 33, it says, Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God to anger than all the other kings of Israel who were before him. So from the very top, we have a king who's not serving God. It's a season of drought. Right after the writer writes this about Ahab and says that he's one of the worst kings ever, in chapter 17, we have Elijah predicting that it's not going to rain in the land. Elijah predicts that it's not going to rain in the land, and it doesn't rain for 3 years after he says that. When he says that, no one cares. Like, Ahab's like, whatever. You know, he doesn't think it's going to happen. He doesn't believe it. See, it's still a season of drought. It's still a season of drought in Israel. The problem is, God is known, but at the same time, he's been forgotten. So Jezebel, Ahab's wife, has been killing the prophets of God. We can see this in chapter 18, verse 13. Obadiah, he specifies what's been happening. He says, "Has it not been told what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord?" So this is what I mean. It's the prophets, God has been forgotten, but at the same time, he's known. He's known by Elijah, He's known by Obadiah. But the problem is, there's drought because he's been forgotten. Second thing, there's another problem here. There's drought because the people are confused. We can see this specifically in verse 21 of chapter 18. This is when they're on the mountain, and it's a battle between the gods. And we have all the prophets of Baal, and we just have Elijah on one side. And Elijah says to the people, "How long will you go limping between the different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal's God, then follow him." But listen to this. And the people did not answer him a word. The people had no idea what was happening. They were stuck between God and then these other gods that the king was bringing in. They were so confused in their religion, they had no idea who to follow. That's why there was drought. So we know there was drought because Ahab first turned from God. He started serving other gods. The people turned from God because they were introduced to these gods and they were confused in what to follow. And the third reason why there was drought in the land is because God wanted his people to rely on him. The reason, right when Ahab turned away, we have Elijah ready to predict that the rain's it's not going to rain in the land. God wanted the Israelites to turn to him and to rely on him, but they turned to other gods. And because of that, we get a season of drought. But what does this all mean in our lives? I'm asking everyone here today, are we going through a season of drought? But what does drought mean in our lives? I'm not talking about there's no rain. It could rain tomorrow. I don't want it to rain, but I like the sun. But are we going through a season of drought? And drought in our lives could mean nothing's happening. Nothing is working. Like, there's no push in our prayers. There's no connection with God. Maybe there's no push in that issue that you've been dealing with. Maybe there's nothing's happening. There's no change. It's just you're lost is connection with God. And if we look for the reasons why they had droughts, because they turned from God. Have we turned from God? Sometimes I've maybe turned from God, not denying him, but I've fallen away from this connection with him, right? And the thing about drought in our lives today, everything might seem fine. Look at Ahab, right? He's the king. In his palace, maybe he has all the fruit, all the vegetables, he has water and everything. He looks fine. His kingdom looks fine. But if you look at the people in the kingdom, they're struggling. If we look at chapter 16, I think we can see the story of the widow who Elijah goes to ask for food. And we can see that even her struggle because she's just going to make the final meal before they die because the drought's very bad. The thing about drought in our lives is that it might seem like we're perfect on the outside and everything's going fine, but we could be weeping on the inside. That's the problem. That's the thing about drought. But I tell you, today, you don't have to worry. Even if there's drought right now, the rain is coming. We can see on the mountain, my main verse that I selected, it says, and when the people saw that the fire came down and the water evaporated that was poured over everything, when the people saw the fire came down and burned what was put on the altar, they declared, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." With this declaration, the people acknowledge God and they turn back to God. They know that Baal is not the true God. So they turn back to God. And here God forgives them. And when there's a drought for 3 years and 6 months, people are going to be expecting rain, right? You know, people are always on the urge and ready for rain to come. So Elijah knows. Elijah believes in God. So he tells Ahab in verse 44, go up. Oh, no, sorry. He says in verse 41, Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of a rushing rain. Elijah heard rain, but he didn't see rain. You know, that's crazy because we don't usually hear rain, right? So Elijah believed by faith that rain was coming. So he went up on top of the mountain and he knelt down and put, I don't know if you want me to demonstrate this or not, but he put his head between his knees. I don't know how that's possible. But he did that, and he started praying. And then he told his servant, hey, can you go check for rain? The first time he goes, he comes back, disappointment. He doesn't see anything. Second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, seventh time, he comes back, and there's good news. And he sees this small cloud forming. And take it in that Elijah prayed by faith. He just believed that rain would be coming. He heard a rain that wasn't there yet. And the rain for and then the rain finally formed, and he told his servant in told his servant in verse 44, go up and say to Ahab to prepare your chariots to leave so the rain doesn't come up and stop you. So his servant goes, his servant starts running to tell Ahab to get going, because right now he's feasting and he's eating because rain is apparently coming. And the thing that's so amazing there is if we see the last verse in the chapter, kids, you got to listen to this last verse in this chapter. It says, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he picked up his garment, I don't know how, and he outran Ahab all the way to Jezreel. You think like a biblical, you know, the Flash, the superhero? He was that he outran his servant, he outran the chariots, and he made it to Jezreel before Ahab did, and he was on horses. And Jezreel wasn't a hop and a skip away. It was pretty far. I think I read somewhere it was like 17 kilometers away. So can you imagine that? An old guy holding his garments like this, just running. You know, just like Elijah and just like the people, Elijah was expecting. He was ready for rain. Even if God provided for him through 3 years of drought, he was tired of the drought because, you know, who wants to get fed by ravens? It's kind of weird, guys. You know, raven, it's a little dirty animal, right? But he was ready for a change. You know, he was ready. He was the first one running. So when Ahab didn't believe that the rain was coming, and he was taking his time just eating, we have Elijah running straight down to Jezreel, ready for the rain to come. I tell you today, brothers and sisters, that the rain is coming, but we have to turn back to God. We have to acknowledge God in our lives, because even right now, if there might not be a push, you don't see a push in your prayer, you don't see a push in what you're asking for, the rain is coming. I believe that I hear the sound of the rain coming. Even though the rain is not here right now, I can feel the rain coming. The rain is coming in my life, in your lives. You just have to believe here and now that the rain is coming. Right now, it seems impossible. If we look at the altar, it seemed impossible even for Baal's prophets to light it on fire. But then Elijah went and got people to pour water on it. And then impossible happened and fire came down and burned everything. By faith today, we have to believe. We can't be... if we read James chapter 1 verse 6, it says, by faith, ask anything, but let him ask by faith without doubting, and for no one doubts like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Just like the Israelites when they were serving Baal and God, they were limping between sides. They had no idea who to serve. We can't be like that. We can't be a wave tossed in the sea. We have to believe by faith that the rain is coming in our lives. You know, that there's going to be change. I'd just like to read, I think, Matthew chapter 8. Can you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18? My message is coming to an end. I would just like to highlight one thing. Matthew chapter 18, verses, we can start from verses 21. It's the parable of the unforgiving servant. I feel like the greatest issue today is, we're waiting for rain. We're in a season of drought, but we're doubting. We're unsure of, because of our wrongs, if we can be forgiven. We're unsure if the rain will actually come because God is unhappy with us. But if we read it here, just the first part, if we look at the context for the story, Peter came up and asked Jesus, if my brother sins against me, how many times should I forgive him? And then Jesus says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who has wished to settle accounts with his servants. Can someone read from verse 24? That's good. That's good. If you see, he got on his knees before the master and asked, "Can you please forgive me?" Just like how Elijah got on his knees and put his head between his knees and prayed to God for the rain. If we look at the significance of this chapter, when we hear 10,000 talents, we're like, 10,000 talents, so what? But if we look at the life of the servant, a day's wage was one denarii. So he'd have to work every day. Every day he would work, he'd only get one denarii. In one talent, there's 6,000 denarii. So if you do the math, for him to pay back the 10,000 talents, it would have taken around 200,000 years. He never would have completed it in his own lifetime. And if you take it into our lives today, say what's I'm searching for a job, so minimum wage is around $14. And what, working 8-hour shifts? I calculated it. I think we'd have to pay a total of $6 billion if we were in the same shoes, if it was based on our wages today. And think about back then, there was no rules or regulations. They had to work like 12-hour, 14-hour, 16-hour shifts a day. Like here, there's some regulations for us young folks, and we have to get a break after this many hours. But they worked every single day, and they would only earn one denarii. And we often overlook the significance there because we don't see how much that person actually owed. But when he got on his knees and begged for forgiveness, he was still forgiven of that debt. So I'm saying here today, standing up here, God is offering for forgiveness. Is offering forgiveness, no matter how deep or how bad your sin is, because just like that person who had this unpayable debt, your debt was paid by the life of Jesus Christ. He came down to this earth, so it's okay. You're forgiven. You're forgiven of your wrongs. So it's okay to expect rain, because rain is coming. Even if in the season of drought, and you're asking God forgiveness and turning back to Him, you can expect rain. Because I hear the clouds forming. I hear the rain coming. And that's my message. Thank you.